Morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. I am thankful for the opportunity to be here and just thankful for each one of you and thank the Lord for another week. Challenges, whatever it might be, we have opportunity in each one to draw closer to the Lord. And I'm thankful that He is faithful. There was a statement made here. Wanda mentioned it on our way here this morning. There was a young man, I don't know how young he was, a boy, and he was walking around saying, "I'm like a speck on the earth." And I couldn't help but think, if we understand we're like a speck in this universe, but we are loved like we're the only person. And it's just something that I know that I need to keep in mind at all times. This morning, I'd like to look at something that I had looked at. I just discovered here the other day that I was asked to fill in here this morning. And I looked back through the years at some of the messages that I had given. And some years ago, I had talked about some of this and thought I would speak about it again. It's a very familiar passage, or should be a familiar passage, in John chapter 1. And the title is God's Light in Our Lives. So I'd like to look at some things there about light and talk a little bit about how God's light works in our lives. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come before you. Thank you, Father, for helping us to know we are a needy people. Thanking you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Help us to understand how great you love us. And thank you for the light. Without light, we would be nothing. And I just thank you for these verses here in John chapter 1 that remind us of that and remind us that if it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't have opportunity or we would be nothing. Lord, thank you for giving us that gift of eternal life. As we commit and submit ourselves to you, Lord, we can grow deeper and deeper in your love, and we thank you for that. And ask that you would help us to understand that this morning. And may your will and your way be done in each of our hearts as you speak to our hearts and lives today throughout this service. In Jesus' name, amen. The word light is in the Bible approximately 272 times. In 235 verses. As you know, there's two kinds of light, but they're from the same source. There's a physical light, which, when was light created? Or was it created? It does not say he created light. It says, let there be light. It always was because God is light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I'd like us, as we go through this morning and read different verses, not only this morning, but at all times, as we read God's word and we read different verses. I'm guilty of this, but I desire, and the Lord has helped me to start changing this a little bit in my life. But as we read God's word, too often, I go down through, I'm reading the word, and I think, oh, I know this. We really need to be challenged in that area. Because God has stuff for us that we really do not know. So as we read his word today, and every time you read his word, treat it as something new. Because it is. It's new. It's living. Back to the light again. It was the first thing that God placed on this earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light here on this earth. Obviously, there was light before because God is light. Excuse me. Physical light is needed for almost all life. Physical light is beautiful when you think of all the colors in the prism that creates light. But what do we expect? It was God that gave us that light. What a blessing and privilege to experience the light from God, who is so great. Just as the sun, S-U-N, is physical light for our planet, so the sun, S-O-N, is the spiritual light for our life. The spiritual light is the second thing we want to talk about. And it's actually needed for spiritual life. If God took all spiritual light out of this world, it would be pretty bad. Psalms 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm convinced that the word is needed for spiritual life to continue. The more of the word that we understand, the brighter the light. I think, I don't know if it was last week, sometime recently here, someone said something about, you know, we can know, I think maybe it's Jim, we can memorize the word. And that's good and that's wonderful and we should. But if we don't understand it and ask God and understand how much we need that, ask God to help us to apply it in our lives. We can know a lot of the word, but it might not really be helpful. If we try to grow spiritually by reading all kinds of books that don't have things in and do not use the word, we lose spiritual light and life. Walking in light means we have to be close to Jesus. Walking in darkness means we're in our own way. John 15:5 says it pretty clear. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's Jesus talking. So without Jesus in our hearts and in our lives, we are not bearing fruit. Darkness and light. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, shows us a good comparison of the difference between spiritual darkness and light. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I'm just going to take a break there. There's a lot of words there. And all of us have fallen under some of these at some point, sometime. But we, I trust, are not living there, or we will not inherit the kingdom of God. I would encourage you to take those words, because this is, well, this was actually New King James Version that I just read. But if you take those words and really consider them, there's so many things underneath those words that if we ain't careful, we're dealing with in our lives. And we got to be aware of that. So I would challenge you to take those words, look into them deeper, use whatever concordance or whatever you have there that breaks them down, and make sure that you're not living in those things. Now to verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh, that's the first part, with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So in doing a little research on those first words, do research on the second words. And ask the Lord to help you walk in the light and in those words. To walk in the Spirit is light and life. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 through 6 says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not in the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I know that's talking about the end times, but it is talking about who we need to be. We need to be children of light. And if we work through Galatians 5 and understand who we are without Christ and understand what Christ has done for us, we can walk in the light if we are willing to admit the things that we find in our lives that are not right, confess them, and then we are children of light. The world prefers darkness over light. In John chapter 3, 18 through 21, this also is New King James Version. I'm not sure why I did that, but that's what I have here. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. That is a picture of how we operate without Jesus, the light of our life. The flesh wants to do things its own way, and usually in a private, secret way, and oftentimes in the dark. Why do many robberies happen at night or in the dark? One way to bring security to an unoccupied building at night is to have it all lit up. And that's happening more and more. When I was a child, not near as much light was being used in vacated buildings because you were saving energy. But today, it's more important to be protected with light than to save energy. Much theft and vandalism happens at night and mostly around unoccupied and dark areas because man loves darkness rather than light. The lie is believed that bad things can be gotten away with easier because they believe no one sees them. All of us in our life have faced things and have faced that issue. We tend, oftentimes as children, but too often as adults, feeling like, if no one's watching, I can get away with whatever it is that we want to do. We must know that God's light is always on us, and He sees everything done and knows why it was done. God knows our hearts. He knows every detail. And I know we know that. And it's easy to forget that. Putting off darkness, Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's how we put off darkness in our lives. I meant to read this before, but I think I'm going to flip there to John chapter 1 right now and read the first 9 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Most of us know these scriptures, but there is so much in there. And if we ain't careful, we're going through life and we're not dealing with some of these things that we should be dealing with. And then we stumble. But we can always come back to the light. And God is there. I am so thankful for these verses. This talks about Jesus being right from the beginning, being the Word, and being the light, and being the reason that we can live, and live a Christ-like, godly life. Here in verse 6 and 7, it says, John came as a witness to the light, or a witness to Jesus. We are to be witnesses of the light, or Jesus, every day. How are you doing? Are you a witness to the light every day in everything we do? I admit, I fail too often. And I think if we're honest, we all struggle with that, but we want to do better at that. I believe we miss so many opportunities because of our weaknesses, fears, pride, things that we think we have to do. And we do have to do things. We do need to work. But that cannot get in the way of our witness. Lord, help us to better understand how we are witnesses. When I think of Jesus here on this earth, he came and he lived, as we know, a perfect life. He took a lot of time, even here on this earth, while he was here. He spent a lot of time with his Father in prayer and speaking to his Father. If he did that, why don't we need to? In the Bible, it speaks of being witnesses in Acts chapter 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. In case you didn't know, we here in Stetson, or Newport, or wherever you live, this is part of the uttermost parts of the earth. And too often, we forget that. And we think, uttermost, that's far away. It's here, if God has you here. Isaiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. God was talking to the Israelites there. But I believe that verse is for us today. I think he's talking to each one of us. We are witnesses. Each one of us that know him, we are witnesses. And we should be witnesses that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. What is it that you have formed in your mind or life that gets in the way of being the witness? In chapter 3 of Isaiah there, it's such a beautiful chapter. I'm not going to read that chapter, but it's such a beautiful chapter. I would encourage you to read it. And it reminds us that we are nothing, and God still loved us, and he is the one that makes and gives us life and light. This, I believe, is a challenge to us as to how we live each day and each hour. It shows us that we are a witness. Appreciated the Psalms that Brother Jim read this morning. That was one of many, many Psalms that we should actually find ourselves crying out, saying, Lord, I need help. And probably a lot more often than we do, because many times we don't realize how much help we need. If we have the light in us, we will be at peace and can rest in Jesus even under the most difficult circumstances. Let us pray for one another to remain witnesses even in difficult times. I know I need Jesus every moment of every day. We sing a song, I need thee every hour. I'm sure most of us are familiar with that. If we don't realize that we need him every hour, I don't think we can be the witness that God wants us to be. We must witness his birth. We must witness his death. And maybe most important, the resurrection. That is the true light. The more of Jesus we have, the brighter our witness and light will be. John chapter 1, there verse 8 and 9 says, John was sent to be bear witness of the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I thank the Lord for the true light that we can have. We are a witness to the true light, or should be, if we know him.